Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, how are you? Thought you forgot about me. Haven't heard from you in years. And then in all caps, all lives matter. And then Chris Webber jumped on. And Matt Barnes jumped on. And Chris Webber tweeted at DeMarcus Cousins and said, DeMarcus, we know and have known who Grant is. The team knows as well. I've told them many times. They've seen it. They know who he is. Saying he's basically accusing him of being a closet racist. And now today, the Kings announced, like, he's on administrative leave. So if the Kings are at Disney World, and they will be, like, is Grant going to be there calling those games? I don't know. But it circles back to what I said yesterday. Like, all lives matter. If you say that or tweet that, you're telling on yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, we know what you mean when you say that. We know who – it says something about you when you say all lives matter. It says something about you. You're not making some good point. You are exposing yourself voluntarily. It's incredible. Like, just keep your little racist thoughts to yourself. Like, these little things some people do that seem safe to them, so they can say, I didn't really mean it that way, but we know exactly how you meant it. Thugs. When you call people thugs, we know what you're saying. That's your safe way of saying N-word. That's what it is. When a white person looks at black people and calls them thugs, he wants to call him the N-word real bad, but he knows he can't quite go there, at least not publicly. Yep. So he'll just hit him with thugs. And when you want to be dismissive of Black Lives Matter or try to act like there's not racial inequality in this country, what do? You yell or tweet, all lives matter. What did I say yesterday? If you reply to Black Lives Matter with all lives matter, you are either dumb or racist, probably both. And so how does that apply to Grant Napier? I don't know. I'll let Chris Webber decide. But now he has cost himself possibly a job because in a very sensitive time in our country, when if you were ever going to be on board with Black Lives Matter, now's the time to do it. He tries to be dismissive of that with an All Lives Matter. And now he might be out of a job for good.
Story number four.
Frank Martin, South Carolina basketball coach, announced today that he early last month tested positive for the coronavirus. He was asymptomatic, so just got the test but didn't know he was sick. Tested positive, quarantined for 2 weeks, and then tested negative, and he's good to go. And I believe he is the second college basketball coach to announce that he tested positive for the coronavirus, the other, of course, being Georgetown's Patrick Ewing. In the NFL, Sean Payton is somebody who contracted the virus, but good for Frank Martin, because Frank is, all of these guys that we've known for a while now, they're getting up there in age, and that's obviously when it gets scary. Frank now is 54 years old, so that's a decade below where the CDC puts you in the high risk category, but still, 54 is not 24,
right?
And so I was glad to hear that. Obviously not glad to hear that Frank got the virus, but that he survived the virus, no problem, and will be back on the sideline coaching basketball, hopefully in November if the season starts on time. Jeff Calkins is up next.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
All right, listen up. Bedbugs,
yeah.
Go up the middle, along the mattresses. Roaches,
yeah.
To a zone, everywhere there's a crack. Brown recluses,
yeah.
You're on surprise defense. Anywhere you can hide. Now let's take that house.
Right.
Pests have a game plan. So should you. Get Allied Termite and Pest on your team. They'll talk with you, understand your full situation, and create a custom, safe, and efficient treatment strategy for your home.
We're up against Allied Termite and Pest? I'm throwing in the towel.
Beat the bugs. Visit AlliedPestControl.com today.
The sports seasons may be on hold right now, but team front offices are busy. And Radio.com has the biggest sports stations in the country, covering your favorite teams and sports. Stay up on the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, NBA, and more. more. All the trades, player and coach interviews, and everything you need to know. Binge your favorite podcast from the top personalities in sports. Stay connected to the teams and sports you love so you're ready when they come back. Listen on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
Is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Joins me every day, a little after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, GP. You?
I'm all right. I'm fine, but I almost got in trouble today. You remember this morning when you asked me if my column is up?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's supposed to be published this morning, but I just looked a minute ago, and it's like somebody published it 13 hours ago, late last night, so I don't really know what happened, but I'll tweet it right after I get off the air. So,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm sitting still. This time I'm sitting still. I've resolved to do nothing but sit still. Go ahead. I'm on my couch, sitting still.
Okay.
Go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'll take a picture and post it.
By the time I get off the air for you, with you, I got a note from one of my editors, and he's like, did you publish that column last night? And I'm like, no, I didn't publish the column last night, but I did notice about 30 minutes ago that somebody published it last night. He was like, yeah, the log shows that you published it last night. And I went in and like made one little change and or like added Mark Few's name to the list of prominent white coaches who have spoken up. And I, instead of save draft, I hit publish draft, publish column. And so I was like, I'm the one that inadvertently published the column. And, like, I don't mean I actually almost got in trouble, but that is the type of thing. Like, if that were and it sort of is a column on a sensitive subject, like, I did have to answer some questions about, okay, why are you, you know, why are you making this point? What do you think about this? Blah, 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 blah. Like, if there would have been something an editor was uncomfortable with in that column and I published it last night prematurely, like, it could have been a problem. So this morning, I just wanted to set
Well, let's be honest, you have a history.
I know.
You've got a history.
I have a history.
Going back behind the editors,
dude.
And last time that happened, GP, feels like it was yesterday, you were suspended.
Two-week suspension.
2 weeks. We passed the hat.
I got it.
When we passed the hat to raise money for you.
Right. This is all true, by the way.
Do you recall how much money? Like, did you get $32 or something?
I don't remember what it was. I remember that whatever it was generous because I thought the punishment was excessive. I thought I was getting, like, sort of put back in my place a little bit because this comes after, let's be honest, I broke the biggest story in the history of that sports department. Do you remember that, by the way? So I'm, like, 23, 24 years old. I break the biggest story in the history of that sports department. Win a first place Associated Press Sports Editors Award, for, like national award, and the commercial appeal named the Sports Journalist of the Year. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Whole department?
They made it the whole department. They would not give it to me.
Damn.
They made it the whole department that year. Every other year, or maybe it was Commercial Appeal Journalist of the Year. And every year, it's just like a journalist, like somebody wins it. Maybe Jeff Calkins 1 year, maybe David Waters another year. They gave me.
In fairness, I don't think I ever won.
But they,
I don't. Like, they used to have those pictures up in the front entryway,
right,
or wherever. I never won that sucker.
They
the only time I won is when I got to share your award.
They gave it to the sports department. I'm like, really? What was so special about the sports department this year? Other than
No. That was the it was, in fairness, it was the Tyson Lewis fight, too.
Was that all right? Was all that the same year? I think it was all the same year.
I think it was the same year. And they were really proud of the way. And we did do a good job covering that Tyson Lewis fight, I will say. Like, we did a hell of a job covering Tyson. Now, mind you, it wasn't breaking that big story. You know, we had to just write down what Mike Tyson said and what Lennox Lewis said. But they said some good things. In fairness, they said some good things.
They said some good things. So I didn't get my award that I felt like I had earned. And then
you're gonna bring up the cake. I bet you're going to bring up the cake.
I never got a cake. I was there for 7 years, maybe. And every time somebody left, they got a cake. It was like, hey, let's have a cake because so-and-so's leaving. Never got a cake. Never got a cake.
Never got a party. Here's the truth. I got to give the CA great credit for this. When I left, I didn't just leave the CA. I left the CA to go to the Daily Memphian to start up a rival, which by no circumstances was good news for the CA. Like, it was, I got a whole party at a Mexican restaurant. Like, they gave me a whole, Mark Russell was incredibly gracious. It was not just me. It was whatever, whoever else left at that same time. We got a whole party at a Mexican restaurant. You never got anything.
Nothing.
So that's because I think there was a perception among some of the leadership you kind of were too big for your britches.
Oh, I know. I definitely, and you know what? Probably deserve it. Yeah, I'm certain that I was, but I never got a cake, didn't get my award. And then I get hit with a 2-week suspension over, honestly, nothing. Something I guess by the book I should not have done, but it's not like what I did is wrote this.
Now let's be honest, people do it all the time. Now there's no editors to go behind. Like it used to be, well, you would go back and smooth out something that an editor had in fixing something else, whatever. You're like, I don't think that sounds good. And it's not a big deal. You just go back, you fix it, whatever, or you think you're fixing it. Right. And then they take it as, I can't believe you went behind my back. Whereas the truth matters, like right now, we go in all the time and fix things, right. You know, like it's a digital world. Ooh, that does sound clunky. Let me fix that. You know, no one gets fired for it. They expect you to do it.
We're
suspended.
What I did to get that 2-week suspension, I do on every column that I write now. Everyone. And what happened then was the story, it was on Quintel Woods. I went to whatever junior college he was in Mississippi and spent like the day with Quintel Woods, which was quite an experience. And like it was an experience. And so I do this big story in Quintel Woods, file it on Friday. They edit it on Friday afternoon, and then it's going to run in Sunday's paper. And at the time, I think I'm living downtown, so I'm right there. And there was something I just didn't like. You know how it is. You when you write, I wish I'd have done that a different way. It's just a little thing. It might just be a word sometimes. So I go back to the office on like Saturday afternoon, and really, I'm motivated by good stuff. I just want the story to be as good as I can make it. And so the difference between that and what we do now is that now if you add another 200 words or subtract 200 words, it doesn't matter. It's on a website. But back then, it was already slotted for the specific space of the newspaper. So when I added this one sentence here, which is like all I was really doing, then I'm two lines over. So now I got to cut two lines somewhere else, and then I got to – when you go to do that, you end up cutting four. So now you got to add
– it's like when you're just eating a little bit of the birthday cake. You got a little bit, and then you got to – I got to even it still. I'm pretty – half the cake is gone.
That's exactly –
well, Gary rewrote the whole damn half cake, right?
Yeah. So next thing you know, there is a whole bunch of changes. No big changes and no mistakes, but still, like if you compare the edited version to my final version, there's a lot of stuff that's different, only because I was trying to balance it out. No big deal. At least I thought so. Next thing you know, I'm in an office. Next thing you know, I am okay, so then I have a hearing. I have to have a hearing with Angus McCarron, who I've met maybe twice in my life.
And your counselor, Zach McMillan, acting as your union.
Zach McMillan is essentially my attorney, all right? And so Zach gets fired up in there, right? Zach's more fired up than I am. So Zach's in there. It's like me and the sports editor, Zach McMillan, Angus McCarron, whoever else got to be there. And Zach is, like, making his opening statement or something, like he's a lawyer. But he's not. He's just Zach. And he goes, I'll never forget. It felt like he stands up. He stands up and he goes, because one of the things Angus said was, okay, so there's, because this was my argument, like, there's no harm done here. It's not like I slipped a cuss word into the paper or there's an error in the paper. There's no harm done. Like, I'm sorry. I wish I wouldn't have done it. I wish you would recognize I was motivated by just caring. I just wanted it to be as good as it could be. Perhaps I shouldn't have done what I did. In fact, I'll acknowledge I shouldn't have done what I did, but there's there was no harm done. There's no mistake, no nothing. And Angus said something along the lines of, well, you know, there was no mistake this time, but what if next time? What if you went and effed up the whole story? And Zach, again, in my memory of it, is like stands up early and he goes, Gary Parrish does not F up stories. Gary Parrish makes stories better. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And next thing you know, I'm like, they're like 2 weeks suspension without pay. I'm like, really? What? Like, what are we doing? And it was like 2 weeks. I was like, what? And
well,
yeah.
Here's the real point. Here it is all these years later, and you haven't learned your lesson. You're going behind the back, publishing things at CBS now. If Angus, you know, I think Angus had a point, you know. Angus had a point, and now you're still doing it. You haven't learned, Gary.
I even told my editor this morning, I was like, listen, I don't know how I mean, I do know how I did it. I just hit the wrong button. But I said,
you
like,
I just hit
the wrong button. I said, but keep in mind, I've literally never done this before. So I certainly wasn't doing it intentionally. That's why I still haven't even tweeted the link to the story. I didn't know it was available. I was waiting for it to show up. And so it's all good. No big deal. But I did self-publish last night. By accident. Anyway, let's transition to more serious things.
Yes, sir.
We talked about what the president did yesterday. I don't care about getting into that again. But it was interesting that earlier today, six police officers in Atlanta were not only fired but arrested and charged with crimes for the way they treated two protesters during Saturday night's protest. It was slightly after curfew. Two black 20-year-olds, college students, a black man, black woman, are in a car. They get tased in their car, pulled out of their car. It's just crazy. It's just like crazy. Like, what are you doing? And so Atlanta has, you know, they fired the officers and they're facing charges. You know, they need lawyers now. And that's one city where they are holding their police officers accountable. But there is so much video out there now in so many different cities in this country where it's just clearly law enforcement officials acting aggressively, unnecessarily. To be clear, there is also plenty of video of protesters acting unnecessarily, aggressively, looting, rioting, damaging property. And everybody screams, arrest those people, lock them up. And I agree, you should. If somebody is damaging somebody's property and you can catch them and charge them with a crime, and convict them of that crime and make them pay a price for that crime. But it's got to work both ways, because if it doesn't work both ways and these videos keep surfacing, I wonder, you know, again, at this point, like, there have been people who have died in these protests. I mean, like, a barbecue owner in Louisville died two nights ago. Like, so there have been people who have died, but it's been lots of fires, but, you know, not a lot of loss of human lives, not a lot of loss of human life. But I fear, like, if other cities don't do what Atlanta is doing and hold officers accountable when they're caught on video doing something that is so clearly out of line, like, it could ratchet this stuff up to another level, which would obviously be terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even applies outside the context of protest. Police should be held accountable. It is interesting that that the same people who are inclined to say about police, oh, yeah, sure, there's a few bad apples, right? Oh, yeah, it's just a few bad apples. They look at video of protests that have gone awry, and they don't say, oh, it's a few bad apples. They say, I can't believe those people are out of control, whatever else. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you point out that there are excesses from the police and excesses from the protesters, those are not the same thing. The police should be better. You know, the police are trained professionals to it is their job to protect and serve, and including the protesters. And so they should be held to a higher standard. And let's be clear, it is the brutality of too many policemen, too many police officers, which is why we are here to begin with. So absolutely they should be held accountable. I do think that if enough police officers are held accountable often enough, what do law and order types say in terms of crime? They say punishments should be swift and sure, then they'll never do it again. Criminals won't do it again, right? Well, the same thing should apply to police officers. You would think that if police officers were trained that, oh my gosh, if I do this, I will not only lose my job, I will be facing charges, you would actually think they would be much less inclined to do it. Whereas there is a culture of, if I do this, nothing will happen to me because I'm a police officer. And that is simply an undeniable part of the police culture. Like, there is a reluctance to hold police officers responsible. And again, I'm not saying that it's not a hard job. It sounds like an impossible job. I would not do it myself. But if they are doing that job, they are not allowed to just yank people out of a car and tase them for no freaking reason. And if enough of those folks are held responsible for that, it will absolutely change the dynamic, not just during protests, but forever in this country.
In that spirit, how important do you think it is for the other three officers to be charged with something, perhaps not murder, but something to send the message of, like, just standing by while your boy does something crazy is not okay? Like, you have to step in. And if we got cops in groups of four, like, and I know it's not always like that, but, like, in that moment it was a group of four, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume they're not all four awful humans, and that somebody will speak up, if only because A, he's not an awful human, or she's not an awful human, and B, there will now be, listen, there's already precedent, but this is more high profile than anything we've seen in this regard. There would be precedent for, hey, listen, that's got to be in the back of your head somewhere if you're a law enforcement official. The other dudes that watched that one dude kill that man, they ended up losing their jobs and facing criminal charges as well. I'm stepping in because I'm not trying to lose my career over this idiot. I got to think that that's a byproduct of this, and especially if the other three officers at that scene are charged with something.
Well, and it's also true that if the situation, if they were four citizens who were engaged in a common enterprise and did this, and one of them throttled another citizen till he died, you can be sure that the other three would be charged with something, right? Depending on, and I'm not enough of an expert to know the legal code on this or their different levels of culpability and whatnot. But yes, you're absolutely. If the situation were if these were just four civilians and they had and done this as part of an enterprise, yes, they absolutely would face charges. So, it's funny. One of the things I went to there was a press conference by a wide range of religious leaders today at Calvary. And I talked to one African-American woman minister, and she made the point that one of the things that really ticks her off is people telling Black Americans how to protest, right? And her point is that this country was built on protest. And sure, there are – no one's in favor of robbing Apple stores. But instead of just judging the protests for this violent, this isn't violent, oh, tisk tisk, whatever else, as a white person, you should just understand try to feel the pain that inspired the protest to begin with, and try to realize that once upon a time, it's funny because she brought this up and I mentioned it the other day on the same show and she brought it up, that once upon a time, you can just imagine British citizens sitting back saying, okay, fine, you don't like taxes, don't protest, but do you have to throw the tea in the harbor? You know, we're trying to micromanage protests. They will get angry. Like, I'm going to walk down to the protest in a little bit, and I hope to God it's peaceful, right? But I don't, if there are this many protests across this part of America, yes, there will be excesses. I don't approve of them or whatever else, but I am trying to just appreciate the anger that is inspiring them, I guess. Anyway.
I heard you ask Chris Harrington this morning, like, what's the end game here? Like, when does this stop? Not that anybody's saying, I'm over it, like, stop it. I'm just curious, like, what is the goal? Often when you start to do something, you have a goal in mind. Do we have a sense for what the goal is here?
Well, I think that is one where you have to talk to the protesters, right? I think one short-term goal that you will hear on the part of a lot of people, and Chris mentioned this, is exactly what you said. Some would like to see, some have said, we'll keep protesting until the other officers are charged, right? But very clearly, the goal, and I think this is the area of hope, and what you want is this to be a big enough pivot point for enough Americans that real change happens, right? And so, because that's the only thing that will diminish the chances of this happening again, so that real change happens. And what does real change look like? If you could look up in a world in 10, 20, 5, 40, whatever years, where police are less inclined to behave badly, like, if you could get police to stop pulling people out of cars and tasing them who are in it, like, that would go, like, I do think, like, one of the things you want is police to be held accountable. One of the things I was just talking about the folks down there today, they wanted the police procedure book on how they're supposed to do arrests to be published so they could see it, right? And then they want to make sure cameras are always on. They want to There's evidently in Memphis, I never had no idea, there's a civilian accountability board that's supposed to weigh in on these incidents of police overstepping, and they would like to see that civilian board have more teeth than it has, right? And then there are big things, like, they would like to see more money in public schools. They'd like to see more money in the public transit system. And that stuff gets to be so big that it feels futile and depressing. It's very clear there are lots of people working on lots of things that would change America and make it better. We talked about bail, getting rid of the system of bail, decriminalizing marijuana, whatever. Like, there are lots of things that can be done here, but there's not just one thing that you can check, and it is done here. It will require people rolling up their sleeves and getting to work, but hopefully that there's a willingness on the part of Jim Strickland and this administration to do the work, or the state and to do the work. And hopefully there are enough people who see that real change has to be done that they will actually do the work, because that's the end game, and that won't be done by Thursday to stop the protests, right?
Well, one of the things that Killer Mike spoke about in Atlanta on Friday night was exactly what you just, or it sounds like what you just explained. He said there used to be a review board with the Atlanta Police Department. It's no longer in existence. Like, somebody wiped it out. He was like, we have to bring that back. He said, because if you look at Derek Chauvin, like, there's enough there in his past that shows that this is a bad guy. Like, this guy's got this complaint, this issue. Like, what? Have a review board in place. And when somebody is stacking up these bad experiences or these complaints, get them out of there before they can put a boot on a black man's neck and kill him. And I do think there's probably, I mean, I'm just going to defer to Killer Mike on this and trust that he's been thinking about this a lot longer and a lot harder than I have. But it does seem like if you had some sort of board in place that could constantly review the men and women who are working in the police force, and when you spot an undeniable pattern with a person, even if they haven't done something that you deem a fireable offense so far, they've done enough to where you don't want to see what's next, get them out of there. Like, that seems like a worthwhile thing to me.
It does, and that's the thing. By the way, the group that I was listening to today was called MICAH, M-I-C-A-H, and you could go to their website, MICAH Memphis, and
if you want to get involved. Stacy Spencer, who is the senior pastor at New Direction Christian Church, is the person who I was talking to about this review board. But he made that exact point. He said, there is a civilian review board, but it has no teeth, and we need to make sure it has teeth. Now, that's complicated, because you know who doesn't want to make sure it has teeth? The police.
Yeah, right. The police union.
And the police union. Right. The police union does not want a civilian review board weighing in on the disciplinary issues. And so the police unions are, like, very powerful and have a lot to say here. And so you have to be willing to take on the police union. And so, and actually, you sort of understand why the police union doesn't want to, in the same way that every union wants to protect their. The problem is that by protecting the bad apples that we've talked about, you're really doing a disservice to everybody else who's in the police union who wants to do it the right way, and you know, ultimately to society. So, but that's like that is one thing. But believe me, I'm not the person to ask. Like, someone wrote me a letter saying, what can we do, what can I say, what do I owe to make this go away for past grievances? And I said, well, first of all, it's not about past grievances. It's about ongoing grievances. And secondly, don't ask me. Like, find an African-American who is involved in the Black Lives and ask them. And by the way, then, like, and then be prepared to roll up your sleeves and do the work. Like, just because you've had an epiphany doesn't mean that it's the responsibility of every Black person to say, okay, let me update you here. This is where the struggle stands, right? Like, if you want to do the work. And there are lots of places to go. They had moms and rabbis and Catholic priests and evangelical ministers and everyone, it was a wide range of people there who are rolling. It was actually really kind of inspiring, who are rolling up their sleeves and doing the work in Memphis, or trying to do the work in Memphis, because in the end, that's it. Like, there's, it's funny. I was listening to it. Sometimes I'm flipping around. I was listening to one of the national right-wing stations. Okay. And the guy was saying, there's two signs they're holding it up. One is Black Lives Matter, and the two is disband the police. He said, this isn't a protest because they don't want anything. A protest, you should want something. They don't want anything. They want to say Black Lives, well, of course Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. This is what the guy was saying. Yes. He says, and disband the police, all they are is anarchists. They don't want anything. They just want. That's absolutely not true. They all have mission statements and policy statements, and they absolutely, will give you chapter and verse as to what could make this better. And so let's not lie and say they don't have an agenda for what they would like to, what progress looks like. They know absolutely what progress looks like. The question is are we as a society willing to help them achieve that progress?
Wrap it up here with Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, I'm right now, somebody just tweeted from earlier today a video from Amsterdam. And there's estimates of 100,000 people gathering to rally protest over the death of George Floyd. Normally, countries sort of, especially, they leave us to our own problems. You know, they'd rather make fun of us for our undeniable issues than actually join in. Do you have a guess for why this seems to be not just resonating in Minneapolis, but the entire country, and not just in this country, but lots of countries, even European nations?
I don't know. What's your theory? It's funny. Sometimes I feel like I'm pontificating here so much, and I don't,
I don't know other than it's such a big thing in America that, everything that's a big thing in America becomes a big thing everywhere, right? If it's Michael Jordan, it's Michael Jordan. And right now it's Black Lives Matter protest. I mean, that's probably an oversimplistic explanation, but this is such a thing that's happening in this moment that I guess I shouldn't be surprised that it is trickling to other continents. But I didn't expect to see 100,000 people in Amsterdam protesting on behalf of the death of George Floyd. And yet that's what I'm looking at right now. It is. It's,
well, I think racism is a worldwide issue,
sure.
Right? And so I think that's it. Is that people are. I mean, once upon a time, here's the truth. Well, once upon a time, there were worldwide protests about South Africa and apartheid, right? Worldwide. When I walked through my college square every morning, there was a shanty town in college protesting apartheid. And they were don't invest in South Africa and whatever else, all of that, right? Now, I am not saying that we have a legalized form of apartheid like we once did. We once did in this country, right? But we don't have that. We instead have institutional apartheid, right? Institutionalized history of this. And so the world is protesting this and the killing of a black, innocent black man in America in the same way that the world once upon a time protested South Africa. And that may be embarrassing to people, but the president last night of this country, you can totally imagine. Take third world country, right? Imagine this is a third world country. President blank of third world country tear gassed peaceful protesters so he could walk across. And you would imagine that, okay, that's happening in some third world country, right? That doesn't happen here, quote unquote. Shouldn't happen here. But it is happening here. And it did happen here. And the world is noticing that this thing happens here. And so that's why the world is protesting.
And one Republican senator after another was asked to comment on that scene yesterday, and they all either passed or supported the president, except the maybe a senator from Nebraska, or perhaps it was the governor of Nebraska. But, like, what does that say? Like, it seems like that would be a pretty easy place, even if you're a Republican, you know, leader, to just say, yeah, that seemed out of line. Like, why can nobody say that's out of line from that side? And I shouldn't say nobody, but not enough. Why can't enough people? Why can't Mitch McConnell at least say, yeah, that was over the line?
Because of his my own theory is, I don't think Mitch McConnell, my own guess, likes Donald Trump, right? Or likes what he represents. I wish he would not do that, right? I wish he would not tweet so much, right? I wish he would not tear gas peaceful protesters. And I think there's a lot of Republicans who wish Donald Trump would not do that. But Donald Trump enables them to get Supreme Court justices who do what they want, who fit what they do want. And Donald Trump has, if you reject Donald Trump, he still has 40% of America, more than 40% of America would vote for Donald Trump tomorrow. And that's the same America that's your base. So how do you can't take on Donald Trump? I mean, if you can't take on Donald Trump because it's risking your base. If you have no courage, you can't, right? Because it's risking your base. And he's a vindictive guy. You know that, right? He'll start tweeting about you next.
Right.
And you don't want that, right? I mean, the truth of the matter is he is bullying Republicans. That's the truth. He has Republicans terrified, not just Democrats. He has Republicans. He bullies Republicans as much as anybody else. He has hijacked that party. Like, he does not stand for what that party is supposed to stand for. That party is supposed to stand for free trade. That party is supposed to stand for small government. That party is supposed to stand for church-going people, right? Like, people of devout faith, right, who are morally upright and whatever. Like, he's literally none of those things, but he just chose to be a Republican because it seemed like the right thing to do. Like, he used to be much more, he'd come across like a Democrat, whatever. So, in a lot of positions. So, they can't take him on because he's kidnapped the party, right?
That's clearly, like, if you're Ted Cruz, like, he said so much awful stuff about Ted Cruz and his family. Like, I can't, like, I'd like, I want to be, I could not say for sure how I would react if I were Ted Cruz. But I'd like to think there is no way I'd buddy up with that guy after all the stuff he said about me and my family.
Or Lindsey Graham, like all of them.
All of them.
But here's the thing. If you don't, he'll say it again about you. You know, he's got some other name. He'll start calling you Lion Ted Cruz again. And so you're just a, you know,
And so you cower in fear.
It's the craziest.
The truth of the matter is, and he has gotten you what you want. Like, you've got a lock on the Supreme Court for a long time because you sold your soul for Donald Trump.
What in the world? What a country we're living in right now, huh?
What a country we're living in right now.
God, Lord. All right, I'll see you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye. What a country we're living in right now.
Yeah.
It is, like I said this morning on Jeff's show, the president says and tweets and does so many outlandish things that it almost seems normal now. Like, you don't even get, like, you don't even blink anymore. Like, if George Bush would have said one of the things that Donald Trump says every day, it would have been like big national headlines, like the president of the United States said what? And now we don't even blink. Like, we don't even, it's like, whatever. But that stuff yesterday, man. I mean, when you strip away the craziness of this entire administration and the craziness in our country right now, and just go, think of another time. If I would have told you that the president of the United States, any president, George Bush, Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, I don't care, any president, any party, before this president, could you have imagined if I told you this, did you hear about what happened at the White House? No, what happened? The president used tear gas on peaceful protesters so that he could walk across the street and take a picture. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Like, no, it would be the biggest story for months, maybe.
Like, it would be, people would be calling for him to resign.
For sure.
And it's like, whatever. It's like, oh, there goes Trump doing something crazy again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not normal. It only feels kind of normal because we've been so subjected to the craziness every day for a long time now, that it's like, it was a big story last night, and now we're like, you know, we're back to other things. Like, that is insane. I don't care who you voted for in the last election. I don't care who you're going to vote for in the next election. There is no scenario where you can rationalize tear gassing peaceful protesting Americans for a photo op. And if you are somebody who voted for that guy and you're trying to do it, I would love to see your tweets if Barack Obama would have done something like that. If Barack Obama had peaceful protesters tear gas so he could walk across the street to take a picture at a church, what would you have said? If you voted for Donald Trump, what would you have said if Barack Obama did that thing? Come on. Come on. We can disagree on policies. We can disagree on social issues. Reasonable people can disagree on a whole bunch of stuff in this country. I concede that. I don't think everybody who disagrees with me on every issue is dumb or wrong. I just think that some things matter more to some people than they do to others. Some of my closest friends are people who don't vote the same way I vote. Some of my closest family members are people who don't vote the way I don't vote. I don't know why everybody can't agree. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't want to speak for, you know, a massive group of people. I think a lot of people that voted for him probably vote based on, you know, party affiliation, certain things like that.
And it's the same way people vote on the other side, too, if we're being honest, right?
Absolutely, 100%. I do think that after, especially these past, you know, few days, weeks, I do think that people will change their mind on him. I do.
We'll see.
That's just my opinion.
We'll see. Like, listen, I do think there are people who regret voting for him, who did, who say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. In fact, like, it's clearly that those people exist.
Oh, I know some.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, clearly those people exist. The issue those people face is that they still like control,
mm-hmm.
even if it's controlled by a crazy guy. So,
and they may have always voted Republican.
Right. So you're like, this crazy guy is better than the liberal. You know, like that's the way some people really feel.
Sure.
But I don't, man, I completely understand how the guy got elected when he got elected under those circumstances. I get it. I understand how you could have been tricked into doing it once. I don't know how you could do it again. If you're sensible.
I don't either, GP.
If you're a sensible, responsible human, like, forget pro-choice, pro-life right now. Like, the stakes seem to be a lot higher than that now. Like, this is what we're living in, a crazy country right now.
It's maybe the craziest time of my lifetime.
I mean, this is bananas. Bananas. The president of the United States tear gassing peaceful protesters yesterday for a photo? Like, that's crazy. And I would say that's crazy whoever the president was. I promise you, I voted for Barack Obama twice. If Barack Obama did that, I would come on the air and I'd say, yo, that was crazy. Tear gassing peaceful protesters for a photo op. That's crazy. I don't know why that can't be the one thing we at least agree on here. That Derek Chauvin is a murderer and tear gassing peaceful protesters for a photo op is crazy. Like, we should at least be able to agree on those two things, but maybe not. We'll be back in a second.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Here we do not ask what will tomorrow hold, but rather, what will you hold tomorrow? A breakfast baconator? A honey butter chicken biscuit? A sausage egg and Swiss croissant? A frosty chino? Buy any of these four Wendy's breakfast favorites and get another for just $1. Tomorrow's looking good.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Here at AutoZone, we're all about helping you get what you need to keep life moving. Like for that next oil change. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil, an STP Extended Life Oil Filter, and a Monster Energy Drink, all for just $33.99. And if you need something fast, you can get it fast your way. Whether it's next day delivery or free same day pickup, in-store or curbside, the choice is yours. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has impacted all of us in a number of ways. We're stuck at home more than we normally would. We're living, or at least have been for the past few months, in ways that we probably didn't envision. But that doesn't mean you can't still sell your house under these circumstances or buy a new one. And if you're thinking about doing it, get in touch with Josh Hysall. He can still help you. He's still got that 45-day guarantee plan. It's a system of selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is able to do this because he's experienced, effective, someone who can expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy. He knows how to negotiate for the most money possible. But the first step is Josh just helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. Once you guys agree on a price, that's when Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days, that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick. Totally up to you, and it's an awesome deal because you don't want to put your life on hold until your house is sold. And understand, it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he's not doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked. He's got flexible fees, no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the guy I'd sell if I wanted to sell my home. The only guy I'd call if I wanted to sell my home is Josh Hysall. 461-8147 on the web. JoshSellsTheMidSouth.com.
Moms have a superpower we like to call mom magic.
Mom magic.
And now, Navy Federal Credit Union has a way to help moms get even more with the More Rewards American Express card.
Works like magic.
With triple points on groceries, moms can turn a year's worth of trips to the supermarket into a trip to Hawaii.
Superpowered rewards.
Visit NavyFederal.org to apply. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Open to the armed forces, the DoD, veterans, and their families. Insured by NCUA. American Express is a registered service mark of American Express used by Navy Federal under license.
Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, I want you to get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, the second generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee or Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. She's a proud partner, Memphis Tigers Athletics. If you don't have life insurance, you need it. You'd never want to leave your family in a bind if something happened to you. So you need to get life insurance if you don't have it. You can get a policy right now via Elizabeth Rook Insurance, and they've temporarily waived the medical exam to help you guys during the COVID-19 social distancing restrictions. So take advantage of that right now and go to the website, rookinsurance.com. That's rookinsurance.com. You have your local doctor who you know, your local dentist who you know, your local lawyer who you know. You should have your local insurance agent, somebody you know as well. That's where Elizabeth Rook comes in. Elizabeth Rook Insurance, two locations, Memphis area, one in Lakeland on Canada Road, the other on Highway 51 in Covington. By phone, it's 867-SAVE, 867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance on the web, rookinsurance.com, rookinsurance.com. We were talking about how this protest isn't centered on Minneapolis. It's just as much happening in New York, L.A., Atlanta, as it is in Minneapolis, it feels like. And it has also drifted into other continents. I told you that there was a gathering, estimate of around 100,000 people in Amsterdam today holding a protest related to the murder of George Floyd. And Dr. Mady Sadeghi from the Smile Center just tweeted me a picture where there was a vigil in Iran today for George Floyd. So we've officially reached the point where Iran is worried about what's happening in our country.
I'm seeing it everywhere. New Zealand, Amsterdam, France. Like it appears to be all over the world.
It is a worldwide thing. And we talked about it yesterday. Like, why is that? And I do think there's multiple contributing factors. One being that I do think the pandemic has something to do with it. Like there are fewer distractions in our country right now. So we can all focus on this one thing and this very important thing. But I also think it's, like we talked about, this was not a spur-of-the-moment murder. A lot of the things we see, like the Philando Castile killing, you know, the cop thinks he's reaching for a gun. He's not, but the cop thinks he is. Pop, pop, pop. Oh, my God, what just happened, right? Very quick, very quick. I don't envy being in those situations. I would never be a police officer. But there's nothing quick about this. This man had 8 minutes, 46 seconds to make a different decision. He was being begged to make a different decision, both by George Floyd and bystanders. And he just didn't budge. Kept his boot right there. We watched a man die for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And there's no way to rationalize that one. I told you yesterday I talked to a buddy who talked to a cop. Just asked him, like, help me understand. Like, what's the, rationalize this. Cop was like, listen. There's no rationalization for that. Like, even cops aren't trying to. Cops will try to explain to you how Philando Castile got killed. Listen, he's got a weapon. You know he's got a weapon. He reaches. You got to. At some point, it's you or him. You think he's, it can happen. You can rationalize that one. I don't agree with the cop not being held accountable, but I understand how you could try to rationalize it. Nobody's trying to rationalize this. This was awful, 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 and it seems to be resonating everywhere, including Amsterdam and Iran. Be back with Dinner to Go.
At Cooper Systems, they would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to all the frontline employees, the first responders, the medical workers, and all of those fine people who are working to meet the needs of our community in these challenging times. We all appreciate how they are working to keep us safe and healthy. Their dedication, their bravery, and commitment are inspiring. And we want every one of these heroes to know that we take comfort every day and in every way and are very thankful they are here for us. You know, we're all doing our best to live together, to laugh together, and to stick together, even when we are far apart. So thank you to the nurses, the doctors, the frontliners, and first responders of all kinds. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much. From Lee and Lauren Cooper and all the staff at Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park.
From nurses to truck drivers, doctors to grocery clerks, the front lines in today's crisis are filled with brave actions every day. And you can do your part by completing the 2020 census. This simple effort online, by phone, or by mail will help impact the next 10 years of healthcare, schools, and roads. All of our first responders need your response. So go to 2020census.gov today. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
I'm Kelly Erb with Marksmansdorf Realtors, and I just had to ask. Sheldon, did you really just buy a set of golf clubs and you never tried them out?
Yep, that's right.
And Sheldon, didn't you tell me whenever you buy a car, you never test drive it?
Again? Yep,
Don't you think that's pretty bizarre, since you always tell people to talk to two or three agents when they sell their home?
Yes, it is. I'm Sheldon Rosengarten, and I'm also with Mark Spensdorf Realtors with Kelly. It's funny. We tell people that you should always talk to more than one agent to find out not only what they think about your home, but more importantly, what they will do for you. And you really need to make sure and include us in the interview process.
I agree, because how are you going to find out about our strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option? And as people often say, when you want the job done, call Sheldon.
That's Sheldon Rosengarten and Kelly Erb. Call or email us at memphisrelocate.com or 682-1868. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Gets us a Sundays.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but there's only one Memphis area restaurant actually serving World Championship barbecue, and you know what it is. It's Memphis Barbecue Company, which is now reopened. They're at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC requires, greater than what the health department requires. They got a three-step approach to sanitizing tables. So you can go in if you want to, and you know if you've been there, it's a big spot, so there's plenty of room to spread out. But if you don't want to go inside, you can still use their drive-thru. They didn't have it before COVID-19, but they established it during the time when they were shut down, and they are still operating the drive-thru right now. So you can drive through at Memphis Barbecue Company, or you can just order online and then pick up. That's what I did last time I ordered. I went to the menu at memphisbbqco.com, memphisbbqco.com, put in an order, went and picked it up on my way home from the radio station. Got home, and the family was very, very happy with me. memphisbbqco.com. You don't feel like getting out? How about delivery? Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, Bite Squad, they all deliver Memphis Barbecue Company. So if you've been there, you know it's great. If you haven't been there, you need to check it out. They're on the web, memphisbbqco.com, memphisbbqco.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but let me update you on the Grant Napier story. He, of course, is the radio voice of the Sacramento Kings. Or at least he was until this afternoon, because he has resigned. Sound like a forced resignation. This after he tweeted all lives matter after being provoked by DeMarcus Cousins. Can you imagine allowing Boogie Cousins to cost you your job? What? Listen, ain't none of us safe in this environment. I promise you this, Boogie Cousins ain't going to be the reason I ever lose one of my jobs. What a nightmare. But you know what? You get what you get. We were talking about this off air. What do you think good is going to come in these times, especially, of tweeting all lives matter at all, but especially at DeMarcus Cousins, especially at somebody famous? I mean, it's just like there should be just there's these things that everybody should be smart enough to understand. You do not do them. Like, you don't try to make a Hitler joke or compare somebody to Hitler. It just never works. So don't do that. And in these times, tweeting all lives matter, it's stupid all the time. It was stupid 3 years ago. It'll be stupid 3 years ago. Right now, it's incredibly stupid and insensitive, and it just cost the radio voice of the Sacramento Kings his job. I don't like to see anybody lose their job, if I'm being honest, but man, sometimes you get what you get.
What's the biggest game tonight?
We ain't got no games.
What should I watch on TV?
ESPN's doing a special tonight at 7 o'clock, the best of college basketball, best moments of the 2019-20 season.
Okay.
So that's, you would assume that's going to have Duke being upset by Stephen F. Austin, Kentucky being upset by Evansville. Honestly, I don't even remember what happened in most of the season at this time. I just stopped, and I stopped thinking about it. But I'm sure there's some neat stuff that I'll remember. So I might actually turn that on, 7 o'clock on ESPN, late night circuit. Shaquille O'Neal is on Jimmy Kimmel. Joel McHale is on Jimmy Fallon. Keegan-Michael Key's on Stephen Colbert. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is on Seth Meyers. And Michael Sheen is on James Corden.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
If you haven't read that column I wrote about David Cox, the head coach at Rhode Island, his experiences with law enforcement officials over the years, and how it replicates basically every other black man's experiences in this country, except for maybe a lighter version of them. Go check that out. I tweeted it earlier, of course, but You can find it real easy, CBSSports.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
I don't know. Couldn't begin to tell you. Not like we got games to talk about. But we are getting to... It's time to get this thing figured out if you're Major League Baseball. The most recent reports are that the owners are willing to play a 50-game schedule at prorated salaries. Players want more games. Owners want fewer games if the players aren't going to cut their salaries even more.
I kind of like 50 games.
Well, what that does suggest is, like, at the end of the day, we're at least going to play 50 games. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to play. Like, the players might not want to play 50, but, like, 50 is better than nothing, and the owners are willing to do 50. So the good news there is that the owners seem willing to, like, that's the if we can't work anything else out, we'll just play 50 games. I'm down with that.
Me too.
I'm sure there'll be developments in the next 22 hours about that. More developments about the NBA.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.